Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
All right. Hey, good morning, y'all. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Like Katie said, a little different morning this morning. We are going to be talking about serving, and you happen to come on Serve Sunday. So this is Serve Sunday. Typically, we'll be working our way through the book of the Bible. The book of the Bible that we are in is Hebrews, but we're taking a break this week, and I will pick it up again next week. But we thought, let's pause for a second, and let's talk about this vital part of, I think, all churches, but also just, quite frankly, the kingdom of God advancing on the face of the earth is this area of serving. And so I want to jump into what that looks like and maybe what that looks like for you this morning. As you walked in, you saw all those tables. And can I just tell you, it was, if you're going to blame anybody for this morning, blame our ministry leaders, because we have these meetings and the ministry leaders are like, I talk to people all the time and they don't even know half the ministries that we have here at Refuge. So we're like, well, how can we come alongside you and talk about you and what you're doing? And so this morning is about learning about service. And then I'm going to give you a homework assignment when we close out that you will not do at home. It'll actually be here. So just get going for that. So I'm going to try to end in a reasonable amount of time so you can do your homework. Okay. So let's pray and then we'll dive in this morning. Lord, thank you for that time of worship and just spending that time set aside really for you to praise your name, to glorify you, to lift the name of Jesus up. And we want to do that early and we want to do that often. And so thanks for that opportunity this morning. Thanks for the leadership of that. And now we want to dive into your word and we want to lift you up in your word. We want to hear what your word has to say to us. And so we want to be attentive. We want to be listening to the Spirit at work inside of us, and we want to hear what you have to share with us. And I do pray, Lord, as we so often do, that we would leave this place different than when we came in, that you would incline our hearts to you. And so, Lord, thank you for that opportunity you give us to listen to you by your Spirit. So help us to be attentive today, this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. So 1999, I'm coming back to the Lord at this point. I grew up in a Christian home, grew up going to church all the time, and then walked away. And I know some of you have that same story. Some of you have kids who are living out that story right now, grandkids. But that was me. And so in 1999, I'm coming back to the Lord. And there's this moment where I had some friends, and they're like, hey, you should come volunteer in youth ministry. And at that point, I'm like, I'm coming back to the Lord. I don't think I'm in a place to be volunteering in youth ministry. But the invitation was given me. In fact, I've thought about this in my later years of ministry. And I kind of help oversee like who becomes our high school youth pastor. And I'm like, I would have never invited me to be part of that youth ministry. But they did. They took a chance on me. And I remember the youth pastor inviting me to come every Wednesday night and be a part of what they were doing in youth ministry and every Sunday morning. And what began to happen in my life is I began to take my faith more seriously. I began to be poured into by the high school youth pastor and those people that I was serving with. And my faith began to grow like never before. And the Spirit began to be at work inside of me as I showed up. And I'm like, well, I'm doing this on Wednesday nights. And here's the crazy thing. Can I just tell you? I began to love Wednesday nights. I looked forward to it. I couldn't wait to get there. It was people I started to get to know in Christ. And they became my friends. And then it became, I can't wait to pour into these high schoolers. I'll tell you, my message initially when I first started off was this. Don't do what I've been doing. That's what it was. Don't do, and that's all I could say. Don't do what I've been doing. And then the Lord transformed that message into Jesus loves you. Live life for Christ. Come underneath his guideship and authority in your life. And it changed. It became don't do to let's start doing this together and living life as a family. And I started to love those high schoolers. In fact, I'm friends with some of them still today. And it was over 20 years ago that was. Here's the other thing that happened is my faith became more than just about my own faith. I now was coming and bringing my faith into this relationship with high schoolers that I wanted to see grow in Christ. And it wasn't just then about me when I walked away from the youth ministry. It was about me as a mentor in relationship to other young people. And I'll tell you something else that happened. There was something that God stirred inside me for the love of his word and the desire to see other people know his word. So somebody came to me at one point and was like, actually four guys at different times came to me and said, you should go back to school. I had already gotten my degree, and they're like, you should go back to school and learn how to be a pastor and learn how to teach the word of God and learn how to lead in different organizations, and you should go back. And so I went back to school and I got my degree, and it all started, I'm just telling you, in this beginning stages of not me. You don't want me to be a youth leader on Wednesday nights. And God slowly developed inside of me the gift and the calling that he put upon my life. And I'm just telling you, your story probably isn't the same as my story, but you have a calling upon your life. The way that God will take you to the end means of the way he wants you to serve probably won't look like the way he called me, but God's got a pathway for you, and God is calling you into ministry, into service of the living God, of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. He is. And my hope this morning, as we kind of walk down this pathway, is to share with you that I believe absolutely with all my heart that each one of you that's called as a follower of Christ is to use a gift that God's given you to advance his kingdom, to share the gospel with other people. Each and every one of you. I'm hoping to share with you that this morning. So if you would, actually, I've got all the passages up here this morning for you. And we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, you could look it up, or you can look on the screen. Either one, completely up to you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, here's what it says. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, praise God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are, catch this, his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which, check this out, God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let's break this down for just a second. Here's the greatest news of all. You are saved by grace. In other words, please do not hear this morning that in order for me to be saved, I have to be a good person, and I also have to start serving in ministry. If I walk out these doors and I don't start serving, am I really saved? That's not what we're saying. In fact, quite the opposite. Here's the thing. God says that despite who Jeff is or was, despite who you are, God says, I want to save you. I want to redeem you. Despite the fact that we are filthy rags, God says, I want you to be part of my family. In fact, I've provided a way for you to do that. And it's by my grace that you are saved, not through works, as our text said, lest anyone could say, well, I served you so well, Lord. I did all the things you wanted me to do. I'm a good person. He's like, no, that's not how you're saved. You are saved by my grace through the name of Jesus Christ. And that's the only way. By God's grace. So we praise God for that. We say, Lord, thank you, because I don't deserve it. We sing about it all the time. We talk about it all the time. I don't deserve it. It's only by your grace that I am saved. Then he says, but check this out. It goes further than that. You are actually God's workmanship. Has anybody ever told you that you're a piece of work? Anybody ever said that? You're a piece of work. Yeah. Now you can say, I know. I'm God's workmanship, right? I am a piece of work. I'm God's workmanship. In fact, the idea there is poema. It's artistry. It's a poem. It's new creation. And so when someone says you're a piece of work, you can say, I absolutely am. In fact, I am God's piece of work, and so are you. And in fact, I've been called with a purpose. He saved me by his grace. I didn't deserve it. And he crafted me into this person that I'm called to be. That actually he's going to use me as his workmanship, as his artistry in the advancement of the kingdom of God. How do you know he's going to use me? Well, here's what it says. You were created by God for good works. In other words, he redeemed you, saved you, and then called you with a purpose for good works. Now, good works could be like worship and praise and adoration of the Lord. Could be study of his word. Can I tell you this? More than likely, it also means service. I was called into service of the King. He redeemed me and saved me, and he called me into service to advance his kingdom on the face of the earth by the way I live my life and the way I serve other people and the way I serve my king. Check this out. God is opening doors that he's already prepared for you. Did you know that? He's already three steps ahead of you, opening doors, saying, Jeff, walk through. Jeff, walk through. Wednesday night, 1999, God said, I'm going to open a door. I know you're not going to feel worthy or called or any of those things. I had, by the way, no intention of ministry at all. That wasn't my calling. I had three jobs at the time, and I had a degree in something else, and I thought, that's where I'm going. And he opened these doors. Just walk through them, Jeff. Just walk through those doors on Wednesday night. Okay, door number one, walk through. Okay, just teach that Devo, Jeff. I don't want to teach a Devo. I'm so nervous to teach a Devo. I'm not going to teach a Devo in front of people. I don't think so. Okay, walk through the door. Slowly, God begins to open the doors, which, check this out, that he's prepared ahead of you. Now your calling, here's where you are. Your calling is to step through the door. Your calling, my calling, is when God opens the door, which, by the way, he prepared for you ahead of time, saved you, redeemed you, started opening doors, saying, I'm taking you in this direction. I'm opening doors for you. Now, he says, look at verse 10, right there. Oh, you don't have it. You probably, some of you, I gave you the option. Now I got to go back. Here we are. Verse 10, that we should what? Walk in them. That we should walk in them. Not that we should just stay where we're at, but instead that we should walk in them. That's the calling. He's saying, listen, I've saved you or redeemed you. I've called you my workmanship. You're my artistry. You're my poem. I want to use you. Now walk through those open doors that I'm making for you, that I'm opening for you. Now, we see Jesus. This happens in the life of Jesus and in his ministry. He's going to start calling his disciples to follow after him. And this is one of those first instances where we see Jesus open a door for some brothers to walk through. Here's what it says. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Here's what it says. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, listen, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Now, I want you to see a pattern here, because just a little ways down from this text, here's Jesus calling another set of brothers. Going on from there, this is Jesus, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Do you see the pattern here? Look at the pattern here of Jesus calling disciples. First, there's the call. There's the invitation. And I know he's calling some of you this morning even to step out and say, listen, maybe this is the call that God's been using and maybe reminding me of for a continual process of stepping out, maybe my comfort zone or what I think I'm capable of. Instead, relying upon him and trusting in him and stepping out and saying, yeah, maybe this is that invitation this morning to join a ministry or to begin serving, either in the church walls or outside the church walls. Look what they did. Both sets of brothers. Immediately, do you see that? Immediately they obeyed. They saw Jesus. They probably had heard of him before. They knew he was Rabbi Jesus. And when the invitation came, they deemed Jesus more worthy than the nets that they were tending to. More worthy than fishing. They said, listen, this is Jesus who we've heard of. And he's inviting us to join him in serving and in ministry? Oh my gosh. It says they immediately left and followed after him. Third thing, look what it says. They just left their nets. They left what was comfortable and safe in that boat, and they began to follow after him. What was tied up in those nets? Jobs. Family line. This is something my family did forever. That was all that was in the boat were those nets and what they knew and what was comfortable and what was safe. And what did they do? They left them behind, it says, immediately to follow after Jesus. And then fourth, it says they followed him. And boy, did they follow him. 3.5 years, they lived life out with Jesus, learning what it was like to serve and growing all the time in him. Now, I thought about this. I said, what it would be like if we were in the boat. What would we have said to Jesus in that moment where he said, hey, Jeff, come follow me. I could just think of in my own life the things, the excuses that I come up with. Number one, this is what I know. This is what's safe. You think I'm getting out of this boat and following after you? That scares me. That scares me. You know what kind of life change that would mean? As I leave my father in the boat, or I leave my nets behind, I leave my job behind, the thing I know and I've been trained in and I'm comfortable with, and you want me, Jesus, to get out of the boat and come and follow after you? Oh, I don't think so. You know where I'm safe? I'm safe in the boat. I'm safe in the boat, and I don't like to rock the boat. In fact, I fight so hard in life just to keep the boat stable. I like balance. I don't like insecurity. I don't like change. I'm afraid of those things. Jesus, you're inviting me into maybe what would be considered an insecure life of wondering what's the next thing. I want to stay doing my job. By the way, Jesus, you know how long it takes to tend to nets and then to go out late at night and fish and then come back? And I can't. I'm going to be exhausted. You want me to come and follow you? I can't do that. I've got everything tied up right here. I'm a busy person, Jesus. I'm a fisherman. I can't go do whatever you want me to willy-nilly do over here and follow after you. I've got things I've got to take care of. By the way, I have a father who needs me, so I can't really come after you in this point. It's livelihood. It's comfortability. If I step out of the boat and follow you, Jesus, things are going to change, and I don't want that. Can you imagine if the disciples said that? If they were like, nah, I don't think so. But I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of saying, I just want things to be stable. I want steady, and I want to stay in this boat. And Jesus, even at the invitation, the opening of the door for me to step through that I should walk in is what the text said. Created for good works, which he established, set out beforehand for you and I to do. Those things could be scary, and I think the boat's a better place. It's controllable. I know how to do nets. I know how to fish. I get an income. I take care of my... But if you ask me to step out, that could get crazy. But we know this. It says immediately they obeyed. They immediately stepped out. And listen, 3.5 years, you know what they got to see? The most incredible ministry ever on the face of the earth. Miracles. Learning the heart of God through Jesus is there, loving people, the sick and the lost, the demon-possessed. They got to be a part of that. They got to watch firsthand what ministry truly looked like at the one who was the King of Kings and the Shepherd of all. Imagine what they would have missed out on had they said, I'm going to stay doing the nets thing. I'm going to keep fishing. They would have missed out on the life lived with and for Jesus. In fact, those are some of Jesus' first words to his disciples. Here are some of Jesus' last words to his disciples. And can I tell you, all of you probably have a company that you've been a part of, or you've worked for a chain of things, and there's a mission statement on a wall somewhere. You know this? The big mission statement. This is what we live for. This is what we work for. Keep going in this direction, right? This is Jesus' mission statement to those disciples. I think to every disciple that's ever come after them. And by the way, I think for every church, here's the mission statement, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. If we're going to serve, here's the mission statement that we're serving underneath. Here's what it says. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And now, because of that, because I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth, he says this. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Well, what do you mean by that, Jesus? Okay, I'll tell you. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Listen to what Jesus just said. He said, you're going to go out and serve, that you're going to use your giftings the way that I've created you. You're my workmanship, created for good works. Now, here's what this all falls underneath. This is your purpose. Each of you as disciples, and when you gather together and you're going to be called the body of Christ, the church, the bride of Christ, here's what you are to do as the church. What? Make disciples. In other words, self-replicate. As you love Jesus, teach other people what it is to love Jesus. As you live for him, teach others what it is to live for him. How are we going to do that? First of all, lead them to me. The idea of baptism is that we kind of think of, well, they're going to go under the water. Next weekend, they're going to go into the ocean. They're going to get swept away by the tide, and we'll have to chase them down and bring them back. No, maybe. But you're going to go under the water. And we know what baptism symbolizes. It's the life and death and the resurrection of Christ. And the person who's getting baptized, what they're saying is, I'm identifying with Jesus as my Savior in his life and his death and his resurrection. So when Jesus says, go baptize, it extends beyond just putting people in water. It was actually like, lead their souls to me. Usher them into the presence of the living God. And by the Spirit poured out upon them, they're going to put faith and trust in me. Do this as a church. In fact, this should be the church's call. The one thing that you do is to lead people into Christ. Listen, hear me right on this. It's not just about making better people. That's not the objective of the church. It's not just about filling ministry hours or clocking a time clock. The objective of a church that's healthy and growing and vibrant and living out the mission statement of Christ is that people are coming and giving their life to him and walking with him. Now, here's the question. When they give their life to Jesus and they begin walking with him, what do we need to do? Teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. Now you grow them and mature them through his word. Now, each and every week as you come to Refuge and we're going through Hebrews, you're wondering, why do we keep going through Hebrews? Because we're teaching, instructing, and growing as disciples. I'll just tell you, the purpose of the church, the twofold purpose, is to bring people to Jesus and then to grow and mature them in their walk so that they will, guess what? Bring people to Jesus and grow and mature them in their walk. And it's a cycle that never stops because it is the Great Commission that Jesus says as he's leaving, go and make more disciples. Preach me, usher people into a relationship with me by my Spirit, and then grow and mature them. So what does that have anything to do with serving and ministry? Well, as you think about serving in ministry and you think about coming together as the family of Christ, this is what we do. And so every purpose of what you saw or seen this morning of people out in the parking lot with cones and vests and they're ushering people in and people who, when you walked in the door, they smiled and said, here's a verse card. Or when you see words up on a screen, this all is part of the same objective, which is to usher people into the kingdom of God by the work of the Spirit. It's all about the gospel. So if I'm out in the parking lot and it's 100 degrees, well, it's 72 degrees out there, but it's going to get to be 100 degrees at some point. And I'm sweating and I'm helping people who don't sometimes like me because I'm telling them to go to a parking spot they would rather not go to. But that's the call, right? It's a thankless job. And sometimes, by the way, it's also raining while I'm ushering people in. But why do I do it? It seems like maybe, in your mind, maybe it would be insignificant. But can I just tell you, it's not. It's high-level significance. Because it's ushering people into this place where they will get to come in on an 80-degree day and sit in air conditioning and hear the gospel be taught. And it was because I was out there with a cone and a vest on rain, snow, whatever, heat, and I'm out there, and I'm gonna endure it because I want these people to be able to get into the service. And when I hand you the verse card, and I've prayed for you, and I'm smiling when you walk in, it's about part of being part of the family. That the role at the front door is so vitally important. And when I'm doing slides, and by the way, can I just tell you, worship slides, when you get the words, that's one of the hardest jobs because you gotta try to guess where they're going next. It's ahead of time type thing. So they sometimes get here early, know the words and practice. I'm just telling you, it's all part of it. And you might think, oh, that's not important. It's high level important. And it's all, again, I'll go back to this. It's all for one purpose and one goal. It's this, that people would come, that they would hear the word of God be taught, and that the Spirit would be at work, and they would walk out knowing Jesus. And, or if they're already believers, walk out fulfilling the call of Jesus upon their life. And I can just tell you, it takes lots of servants with our kids this morning and grandkids, that they would know Jesus and that it would be taught in a way that's loving and gracious and caring. That's the service of the children's ministry in a high school. The room, the building is filled with people who've said, I'm stepping out of the boat. It's going to cost me something. It's going to make my Sundays look a little different. But I'm willing to do it because here's what it is. I believe God's created me. He's called me. He's created me workmanship. He's prepared good works for me to do. And I'm going to step through those doors because I know he's going to use me. And by the way, it will not just be a blessing for the church. It is a huge blessing. We have incredible volunteers. It is a blessing for the church. But can I tell you, it's going to be a blessing for you as well? That in fact, God is calling you, I believe, each and every one of us to step through those doors and begin to serve him in some level, to some capacity. I think you got to start somewhere. Me on a Wednesday night, oh my gosh, what was I doing? I didn't know. It was just being faithful and stepping through those doors. So let me just give you reasons. Maybe you're thinking, not me, not me. This is not me. Why did we come this morning of all mornings? Couldn't we have Hebrews? I'll come back next week. Hebrews, we're back into Hebrews. We're going to talk about giving next. No, I'm just kidding. We're not. Serving. We'll stick with serving and then we'll go back to Hebrews, I promise. Now, here's the thing. Why should I serve? Can I just give you a couple? In fact, four. I'm going to give you four. Why should I serve? Number one, you were given a gift. You were given a gift, each and every one of you. And I believe it's called time for us to use it. We've been given a gift. Now, imagine this for a second. My wife, she comes and she's like, you know what? You're an incredible husband. You're the best husband in the world. I love you so much. You do so many things right and good, and I love you. And she would probably just go on from there even more. But we don't have time for that this morning. But she gave me this gift, and she said, here, I want you to have this. And I said, oh, thank you. And I set it down. And I kind of just walked away. I didn't even acknowledge the gift at all. Zero. What do you think is going to happen that night? Right? Strong words of fellowship. Hey, why didn't you? Yeah. Why didn't you open the gift? Don't you care? Didn't you? I took time to put that gift together for you. And can I just tell you that some of us were living in that realm with a gift that God's given to us. That actually, God's given us a gift. We kind of set it down and we don't use it. It just sits on the shelf. And in fact, and I would just say this, that some of us haven't even ever opened it. It's just kind of like we got saved. Praise God. That's incredible that God saved us by grace. But we forgot about the whole workmanship thing, that actually he's created us with purpose. And so we kind of relish in the idea, and we should, by the way, that salvation is ours. But we never really picked up the gift and thought, well I wonder what's in there. I wonder what gift God has given to me. And some of us, can I say this? Some of us know the gift. Maybe we've exercised it a little bit, but then it sits on the thing and we don't use it. We kind of just walk away from it. And it's sitting over there. We know it exists, but we're kind of like maybe what the disciples would have felt like, oh, this is going to be a lot of time. This is going to rock the boat a little bit in my life. And I don't, you know what? I'm just going to keep it there and keep doing what I'm doing. And some of us need to go back and say, maybe I need to start exercising that gift again. Maybe I need to start taking steps of faith through those open doors that God's given me to exercise that faith. Well, how do you know, Jeff, that we all have a gift? What is that? How do you even know that? Well, look, check this text. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. There are a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a difference of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are a diversity of activities, but the same God who works all in all. In other words, God is the one who diversifies the gifts, spreads them out amongst us. God is the one who organizes us all together in these families we call the church. And he calls us then to use those gifts. But look what it says. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. In other words, you're not given gifts in order to make a name for yourself or to bolster yourself up somehow in the spiritual realm. It's not the call of the gift. The gift, in fact, is for the person sitting next to you and in front of you and behind you and all in this room. In fact, you've been given a gift for the profit of all, for the body of Christ, to be used to build up the body of Christ. For one's given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But look at this. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one what? Individually as he wills. You mean God gave me, I'm his workmanship, and he's given me a gift to be used for the good works that he laid out before me ahead of time. He's prepared for me. Absolutely. You mean I could be sitting with a gift right now that I've never used? Maybe I'm finding out for the first time this morning I have a gift, and I'm supposed to use it in the body of Christ. I can make the argument locally, but also globally, that God maybe would use my gift in a parachurch organization. Absolutely. This is maybe new information for you. By the way, he goes on in that same chapter in verse 12 to say, you know, the body of Christ is like a human body. And like you have an eye and you have a hand and you have a foot. And not one of those parts is more important than another. And in fact, all those parts are dependent on each other, is his argument in that chapter. He said the church is like that body with all those gifts, and you all need each other. You mean I could be sitting here this morning and Refuge needs my gift? Absolutely. And Refuge needs my gift developed and growing? Absolutely. In fact, here's one more text that says somewhat of the same thing. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracle of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. Who supplies the gift and the ability? God, yes, God does. That in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Not because you've been given a gift are you glorified. The gift is given so that Christ is glorified. To whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now imagine for a second with me. If all of us had a gift and we started to use that gift and develop that gift, what would happen to a church where people caught wind that people are using the Holy Spirit, God-given gifts within the church? What would happen is Jesus would be glorified, I believe, even more. That his name would be even greater. Not the name of Refuge, not your name, not my name, but the name of Christ would be lifted up. Can you hear the way Jesus is moving in the life of the people of Refuge? How incredible would that be? It would be incredible. So my call to you this morning is to say, well, what is the gift that I've been given? And am I using it? And maybe this morning is that first time you're going to say, I'm going to find out what that gift is, and I'm going to begin to use it. Now, second one. Remember, there's four, so we're on two. What you invest in, you grow in. What you invest in, you grow in. You know the end of this phrase. Time is... Let's try it again. I know I didn't prepare you. Here it is. Time is money. Time is money. Now, usually you hear this when there's a boss who is over you and he deems you not doing what you're supposed to be doing, and maybe you're wasting time or you're not working hard, and he comes to you or she comes to you and says, listen, time is money, and what you're doing is we're losing money. And sometimes maybe you've used that on some of your employees. Do you know time is money? And what we're saying is there's a direct correlation between time and our company or our business growing in money. And what happens is if you're decreasing the effort or the ability in the amount of time you've been given, we are losing money. Here's why. Time is money. What you invest in, you grow in. Here's another one. Malcolm Gladwell said this. He said, if you spend 10,000 hours on a certain topic or subject, then you will become an expert in that topic or subject. If you spend 10,000 hours honing your craft, then over time, you will become so good at it, you'll go past everyone else. You'll become an expert. In fact, you can break that down. 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, which is a work week, 44 weeks a year. You could do it in 5.5 years. You could become an expert. Can I tell you, some of you are that. You're looking at those numbers, you're like, I've been doing that in my job. I've gone over 10,000 hours. And I will tell you, some of you are experts in what it is that you do in life. And whether that was through education and training and money and all the things that you use to gain that expertise, you've spent the 10,000 hours, and some of you are experts in what it is that God's called you. Here's why. Because what you invest in, time, money, resources, you grow in. One more, if you're not a business person, I would just say this. Think about your relationships with people. If you think about a marriage or maybe a really good friendship, the more you invest in that relationship, the more you grow in that relationship. Or with a son or a granddaughter or a grandson or a daughter. Think about it. You begin to know the nuances of that person, what they like and what they don't like. You can almost read what's going on in their soul at times because you know them so well. Because, listen, you've invested in them and you've grown a healthy relationship with them. Now, think about this as it pertains to what we're talking about this morning, serving in the kingdom of God. Let me ask you something. Have you invested in serving in the kingdom of God? And maybe you're thinking to yourself, I don't even know how that's, I would start all that. What do I do? And maybe you would say, I've come to know Jesus. I'm walking with him. Praise God. Listen, I do not want to diminish that at all. That's incredible. That's miraculous. Saved by grace. But now maybe God is calling you to say, listen, you're saved. Now come serve. Come walk with me. Look at, I did a little, some my own numbers here. I know this, there's 24 hours in a day. Yes. There's 168 hours a week. There's 720 hours a month, kind of depending on which month we're talking about. There's 8,760 hours in a year. Now think about it for a second. How much of that 8,760 have I spent serving the Lord for the kingdom of God advancement? And how much of that have I spent this last year saying, God, I'm going to get out of the boat. I know it's going to rock the boat a bit. It's going to be a little uncomfortable. It's going to cost me something. I'm going to leave the nets behind. I'm going to leave Dad out there doing the nets. It's going to be awkward when I have to have that conversation with him as a disciple. But I'm going to follow after you, Jesus. And when the opportunity opens for me to use the gift that you've given me, I'm your workmanship. I'm going to step through those doors and begin to trust in you and say, Lord, use me for your kingdom purpose. Number four, serving makes us more like Christ. Honestly, cannot tell you if there is a more close, when I think about who Jesus is and the word serving or servant, it is him. In every aspect of his life, as he walked through the Gospels and you read the Gospels, Jesus continually served other people, even when it cost his reputation. Oh, he eats with sinners and tax collectors. And Jesus is like, let's have dinner together. I'm going to serve you. Oh, he walks and talks to people who we should not walk and talk to. And Jesus is like, I'm here to serve them. I'm going to cast out demons. I'm going to heal the sick and those people who have leprosy. I'm going to step into those uncomfortable and difficult situations. Here's why. Because he's the servant of all. He's the good shepherd. In fact, Jesus says this. Take a look at this. Mark 10:42, but Jesus called them to himself, his disciples, and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, their authority and their power, and their great ones exercise authority over them, yet it shall not be so among you as my followers, as my disciples. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your what? Servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man, and by the way, Son of Man coming out of the Old Testament, this idea that this Messiah will come, that's the Son of Man. He's the one that's promised. He's the one that's coming. He comes from God. He is God. He is worthy of our praise. He says, look, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So then the question would be, as followers of Jesus, what do you think our role should be? What do you think that we should do if our Heavenly Father comes and walks amongst us and is a servant to all? What do you think our calling as following his footsteps should be? I would recommend service. John 13:12. So when he had washed their feet, Jesus gets down on his knees and he's washing these dirty, stanky feet, right, of his disciples. Taking his garments, sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, right? High up position, authority. And you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you, listen to this, an example. I, your Lord and your Master, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the King of Kings, have given you an example. What's the example? That you should do as I have done to you. Do it. He goes on and he says, most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If I'm your master, disciples, Jesus says, then you should do what your master is doing and serve one another. Nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if what? You talk about them, you think about it. No, he says, blessed are you if you do them. And so, this morning, I thought about a couple things. Like, what would my mind, what would Jeff's mind be doing if he was sitting out here this morning? I got one more point. Sorry. I'll just do it quick. Serving's connective. If you want to get to know people and know who they really are beyond just their name or even just know their name and how to pray for them, then serve alongside of them. I'm telling you, that parking lot team out there is connected. The cafe team, connected. Lunch and a prayer, Thursday nights, connected. They know each other. They pray for each other. They care about each other. Monday, Tuesday, food ministry, serving alongside someone, you will connect. All right. Now, here, if I was thinking like you're thinking maybe this morning, here are some things, the reasons why I just can't serve. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I heard the word of God this morning, but let me just tell you, you don't know me, right? Here's the reasons, a couple of them. This is what I'm thinking. I don't have time. Okay, somebody raise your hand if you have time. All right, okay, I got one, I got two. Listen, this is all of us. My wife and I are continually asking ourselves, where do we have the time to do that? To add the one more thing in. And I know you're probably all thinking this direction, but can I tell you the other thing that we've come to is that sometimes we have to reorient our time. There's just some things we don't do more of, and we do more of something else. And so I will just tell you, if the argument is time, it's called reorienting our time. Second one, I don't have the energy. Oh my gosh. Yeah, right? All of us, we're running and running and running and running and running and running. And then somebody teaches on service and you're like, what part of my energy level could I do that with? And I'm telling you, it's the same thing as time. It's reorienting my energy. What am I spending my energy on? Because here's the truth, right? What I invest in, I grow in. What am I investing in? And I'm saying, listen, the kingdom of God is important to me. Jesus is important to me. I see that he serves. Maybe I need to reorient my energy somewhere else. Look at this one. I don't have the desire. That could just be a real thing. I thought to myself, maybe somebody was like, I got to the end of all this and whew, I just don't have the desire. And I would just say, listen, biblically, look at what God is calling us to as the church. Our mission statement, the move forward, what we're called to as the body of Christ. And maybe if the desire is not there, maybe you say, Lord, give me the desire. I pray for it. I'm saved. I know the Lord. Lord, I want to serve. Lord, give me the desire to do it. Give me the passion to do it.
How about this one? I don't have the knowledge or the skill base. And maybe that could look like I'm not good enough. And I'll just tell you, 1999 on a Wednesday's night, I did not have the skill base. I just had the desire. And the God worked with me on that. And I will just tell you, don't let the fact that maybe you don't know the Bible enough, or maybe you just got saved, maybe that's another one. I'm just starting off. Can I just tell you, and Mike, can I get an amen from this? Sometimes people who just give their life to the Lord, they're like, where do I serve? I want other people to know Jesus, right? And so don't let that keep you from serving and stepping out in ministry. How about this one? I don't know what I would do. Well, that's what this morning's all about. You're going to get the opportunity here in a second to do a homework assignment, which is to step out of these doors, and you're going to learn about some of the things that we do here at Refuge. And maybe for the first time, you'll plug in and connect and understand what the Lord wants to do inside of you. How about this one? I don't need to serve. Others are doing that. That's my favorite. I'm thinking to myself, if you come and you walk into a sanctuary like this and you look around and there was already a parking team and people already hand out cards and there's always words up here and they don't need me. And I'm just telling you, just be frank, thank you, Lord, for the volunteers that we have here. We have incredible volunteers. Yes, amen. But what if it's not for us? Yeah, absolutely, I believe you're going to build up the church as you begin to serve. But what if some of it's for you? What if you standing at a door and greeting people and getting to know people's names as they walked in was for you? What if that was the thing that God said, listen, I've given you a gift of hospitality. I want you to use that gift and in the family of God. And what if you started doing that and your faith began to grow? And your connection to the body of Christ began to grow, and there was a burden put on your heart. And sometimes I'll tell you what even happens. You start in this one spot, and God moves you to another spot because you begin to develop that gift. You're like, actually, I may be more needed over here. What can I come over here? Absolutely. And maybe God begins to just weave you so tightly in to the body of Christ. Listen, we need you, and you need us. We need a body together to be collective in using their gifts. Last one. I didn't know this was part of what God is calling me to grow me and to strengthen me and the body of Christ. Maybe this morning, for the first time, you're hearing, I didn't even know ministry and service was part of following after Jesus. I didn't know advancing the kingdom of God was something that I was a part of. And quite frankly, I'm not even saying that in jest. Maybe it just was true that you'd never heard that before. And this morning, for the first time, you're hearing, actually, I've been given a gift, and I'm supposed to use it in the body of Christ for the building up of the body of Christ. And maybe this could be so exciting. Maybe this morning you're going to step out here and you're going to meet someone and they're going to tell you about their ministry and you're going to step into that ministry. And then a year from now, we're going to hear how you've grown in your gift and the thing that God has given you. And you're going to grow in relationship with those that you get to be in ministry with and in ministry to. And maybe God puts a burden upon your heart that goes even deeper than the ministry you're serving in. And it was all because you got out of the boat. You weren't afraid for it to be rocking a little bit. You stepped through that door and God said, listen, I'm going to bless you for that. I'm going to bless you and you're going to look at things so much differently. So here's what this weekend looks like. Here's the table out front. You're going to see the table set up. You're going to see the ministries. They're going to share a table together. So there's two ministries per table. On the left and the right, you'll see the name of those ministries. There's going to be someone behind that table. They're going to have some flyers. Here's the homework assignment. Talk to someone. That's the homework assignment. Talk to someone behind those tables. Or if you're like me, like, oh, I don't know if I can talk to someone or not, grab a flyer from one of those ministry tables that tells you what their ministry does. Or we have a packet. It's about 5 to 10 pages, double-sided, with all the ministries of Refuge on them. Grab one of those packets and begin to pray over what ministry maybe the Lord would call you into and to connect with. So three things, talk to someone or grab a flyer off the table and sneak away or grab the packet that has all the ministries over it. But seriously, pray over and say, Lord, where would you have me take the next step this morning at Refuge? Amen. One more thing. Don't forget about the people who are in the courtyard. There's ministries all throughout the front, and then the courtyard kind of goes back by the cafe. So make sure you check out those people as well. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, I really truly see the value that you put on service and ministry. As I look at your heart, Lord, it was to serve others, to treat others more highly than we treat ourselves. And if that means on a Sunday morning elevating the name of Jesus by the way that we serve, then we want to do that, Lord, to the best of our abilities. I also realize, Lord, that there's ministry that goes on beyond these walls. And you've called some people at Refuge to go outside of these walls and serve. And praise you for that, Lord. And then maybe somebody's saying that this morning. They're thinking, maybe I'm supposed to serve somewhere outside of these walls. And then praise God for that, Lord. Would you use them in that capacity as well? All this is for our mission statement, your mission statement. Go make disciples of all nations. Lead them to me by the work of the Spirit, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then instruct them, teach them, grow them, mature them, and guide them. Lord, I want to be a part of that. I know we have a Refuge family that wants to be a part of that. So this morning may it just be one big opportunity for us to step into that collectively as the body of Christ this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free my heart.